Well, I'm showing with our apprentices from Wardley that we bring to you the love of apprentices of Wardley, who actually aren't at Wardley, they're now at Morpeth, but that's just right the by. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're like, but I'm rubbish at it. I don't like it, and sometimes when I'm in certain foreign countries, it gets me annoyed, especially in France. But then again, the Spanish are pretty bad, and then the Italians are even worse. Queuing. I'm no good. I just can't queue. I don't know why. And if you've ever been to those countries, you've never been to those places, the lovely Spanish and the lovely Italian and all the rest of them, they are not averse to pushing in, are they? Unless you're in Disney. I'm sorry to bring in a corporate company like that. But if you're in that sort of place, they have very much order. They have very much how we should do it. We're not very good at waiting, are we? Well, I'm not. If the latest gadgets come out, and I'm not going to use another company, but I'm sure you can perhaps guess if you know me. When the new gadget comes out, when the new thing comes out, I can't wait to look at it, see it, perhaps even if I'm lucky enough to buy it as well. I just can't wait. And the same with a holiday. Ruth won't tell me if we're going on holiday until we get a bit closer to it, because I get so excited. I think, oh, great, we're going to... And I don't care, honestly, if it's, you know, Scarborough, which is very lovely, or if it's the Isle of Wight, which my daughter says is very much similar to Florida. It doesn't matter where it is, Francis. I just enjoy and I really like going on holiday. I love it. I love the experience. When I was younger, I didn't enjoy it because I used to get scared. But now I'm being a little bit older, I love it. And I love doing that. But I can't wait. And I think, well, a couple of days go quicker. And you know what's worse than that? It's usually in the summer holidays. Now, if you've ever worked in a school, as I do, terms go like that. Honestly, it's good. I can't believe we're about to finish a term this week coming up. But when you go into the holiday mode, it seems to go on and on and on. And those 2.5 weeks in the summer holiday that I have to work before I go on holiday seem like 3 months. Because I'm just getting more excited knowing it's going to get there, and I listen to things and think, oh, I'd love to be there. And I just can't wait, and I just can't wait. What do you like on the phone, brothers and sisters? Do you like waiting when you put on hold? I ring some companies for work, and you get that lovely music, don't you? And you're put on hold, and you have to wait, for them. And then the great thing is, as I had this week, you put through to someone and says, actually, I'm not the person you need to talk to. Let me put you on hold while I find the person that I can find that should be able to help you out. Do you find our lives at the moment, I don't know if it's just getting older, dare I say, or whether it's just life in general, just seems to be going faster and faster and faster. My great uncle always warned me, as you get older, he said life does go faster, and I'm not that old, but being a little bit older, I've noticed that it does. Life seems to rush past. I can't believe that we've gone through Christmas, and I always say this at school, and they hate me. I say, we'll soon be putting the Christmas tree up, and I know we will, because life will rush past. Life will go very fast. Do you realise we spend something like 6 months sitting and waiting at a red light if you're a driver in your lifetime? Quite something, isn't it? We spend, this was a statistic off the internet, and take it or leave it, 5 years waiting in a line. Sometimes we waste our time, don't we, doing things that perhaps are frivol, and I'm talking about frivol things. So what do you like at waiting? How good are you? We are fortunate that we're going through Luke, aren't we? And we talked about this earlier on. This lovely book of Luke, the lovely gospel here, it's just one of the it's my favourite of all of them. Because he's taking us on a lovely journey. He's going to describe to us, he wasn't there, but he was taking, we think, don't we, from Mary, we kind of get that impression, that's what it is. And he's listening to her, and he's listening to how she sees it, perceives it, and how it was done. And here we are, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to us and teaching us, and trying to show us how we should be. But even the disciples, as they get towards Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ, are impatient, and they think, wow, the kingdom's going to come. Here's Jesus. Now we're going to sing Hosanna to the King. It's got to be now. It's got to be the kingdom. That's an exhortation to me, brothers and sisters. I'm ashamed that on my day-to-day spiritual life, I'm not as excited as I should be, that today could be the kingdom day. Today could be the day that we meet our Lord. Today could be the day that we actually get to talk to him. And if we're lucky, maybe we'll be able to talk to those patriarchs of old, those people that we just talk about from the pages of the Word, those people like Moses and, for me, the Apostle Paul, who I'd love to meet, and, of course, our lovely Luke here. That could be today. And are you excited? Were you excited about the idea when you woke up this morning and said, this could be it. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day when he will come. This is the day when he will set his kingdom upon this earth. Or was it a day as mine was? Making my mind prepped, making sure I was ready, making sure I hope I've got a bit of an exhortation, making sure I hopefully got my talk done for the sort of public address type thing to try and go, is that right? Was I thinking about that? Was I going to be on time? Were I really thinking about anything else but those sort of practical things? And how many times, and maybe I'm talking about myself, have you had the situation where you've listened to the brother and you perhaps have been inspired and said, thank you very much, brother, that's kind of got me going, and then you somehow have the emblems in your hand and you don't remember the prayer, and you're sort of jolted because that bread's in your hand or the wine's in your hand and your mind is, who knows where. Maybe it's on the dinner that you're going to cook later. Maybe it's on the people that you're going to meet later on. Maybe it's in the things that you'll do to later on or even tomorrow. We're not very good, are we, brethren and sisters, at waiting. We're not very good at being patient or making sure that we're doing and making sure that we're looking. I'm talking about myself, brethren and sisters, of course. I'm talking about myself specifically. And if we're not very good at waiting, and if we're not very good at getting into that situation and making sure that our mindset is right and making sure that our attitude is right every single day, then we're not going to be able to do some of the things that Luke is talking about here in chapter 11. This is a very powerful little chapter. This is almost a break as we're walking towards Jerusalem, which we've already talked about. This is as we're walking towards that situation where we know what's going to happen. We have the foresight of being able to read the whole of the gospel. We have the foresight of understanding that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking towards his death. He's going to teach the disciples how to pray. He's going to teach them how to approach their God. He's going to teach them how to talk to their God. And a very practical and very everyday thing. But did you notice also these words in verse 9 of that 11th chapter? And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. When was the last time you really seeked for the Lord's help? The disciples here said, teach us to pray. Come on, we don't, you know, John's disciples taught them how to pray, and we don't have that prayer, but he taught them how to pray. He showed them how to pray. The Pharisees, they knew how to pray. They showed it how it was done. They sort of kind of had their rituals, didn't they? We know that because we look back in the Old Testament, we can see it. So teach us something. Teach us how to do something. How do you ask? When you do you ask in the situation that you know you will receive? Because that's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? Because he goes on to say what father would, in their right mind, if asked to give bread or food, would give something else. You wouldn't do that if you're a father, if you've got children, you know what we mean. If they're asking for food, you wouldn't give them a rock. You wouldn't give them something that's of no use to them. These are practical things, brothers and sisters. These are practical things for our spiritual life. What was the last thing you asked the Lord to help you with? What was the last thing you found yourself saying to God, please help me with whatever it may be? Maybe it's a health thing. Perhaps that's been on your mind. Perhaps you've had problems with health and it can get you down. I never thought it did, but once I became seriously ill, I suddenly thought, hang on. Where's my strong brother gone? Where's that person that could do everything? Where's that person that was very strong? Suddenly, I've been laid low by an illness. Did I ask for God's help? Did I seek his presence? Well, perhaps not as much as I should have done. because my mind was on other things, on my body, on me, on what was going wrong with me, how the world was having to go at me. And we can get like that, can't we, friends? We can sort of go introverted. We can sort of start looking inside ourselves and worrying about ourselves. But Jesus is saying here, if you ask correctly, if you have the courage to ask here in chapter 11, if you have that courage, then you will receive. And he will open the door for you. Maybe it's just on a simple thing. Perhaps you find yourself reading the readings, and perhaps you find yourself on a study situation, or whatever you call it, whatever your situation you find yourself. Perhaps you find yourself in that situation, and you've just gone through a chapter, and I don't know if you found this, you've read through a chapter, and thought, I've read this chapter this time, I don't, what? Maybe it's on a simple level of that. I don't know how you think and how you meditate, how you study, however you want to call the word, how you look at the word of God, what you do to make your mind focus on the word. You take it verse by verse. Do you have a version that's able to tell you exactly what the Greek is or the Hebrew? Is that your bag, as it were? Is that the way you do it? You take it literally, word by word. Do you break it down? Is that your way? What was the last thing you asked for? Was it for the kingdom? I don't know about you, but when I look around us, and when I see the world the way it is, when you listen to the news and you see that yet again another bomb's gone off in Turkey, and yet another person's been killed, yet another person's been shot, yet another person's... Don't you become a bit familiar with the brothers and sisters? Don't you sometimes switch it off, even if it's on the radio or on the news, so if you're watching it, you just think, oh, it's another person being killed, there's another person in distress. Or does it make you think, oh, perhaps I ought to be watching a bit harder. Perhaps I ought to be looking a little bit harder. Perhaps I should be making sure that I'm watching what's going to happen with the world. Perhaps I should be looking at and thinking at what the world is coming to. Are you yes or no for the up-and-coming referendum? Is that something you're even interested in? What do you think might happen if we go out of it or if we stay in it? What do you think will happen to us? What do you think the world will come to? What do you think the world that we live in will end up being? Is that relevant to us? Maybe it's not. Do you hold up your head and look and think, surely today has got to be the day of the Lord? Can it get any worse, brothers and sisters? Can our fiscal thing, or whatever it is the lovely chap talked about this week, can it get any worse? Can we have less money? Is that a problem? Can we be in less situation? Can the world be in any more turmoil? Can things get any worse, or will they get worse? Did we ask for the coming of the kingdom? Did we ask for that day of the Lord to come now? Do you pray every day? Do you find yourself in prayer every day? Do you find yourself perhaps on your knees if that's the way you wish to do it? Or do you find yourself just praying every day? I know a dear brother who's now fallen asleep in the faith. His day started by getting up very, very early, much earlier than I get up. He was lucky to work for himself. And he used to go to his workshop when he was a craftsman. I mean, I mean he's the person that can make a dovetail joint without glue stick together and you try and pull it apart. That sort of talent. He was a proper carpenter. And what he used to do, and what he used to say to me, what he loved to do, was to sit out and look out his window. Now, he happened to have a very nice view because he lived and worked on a park down in Berkshire. Now, you wouldn't think down south there would be lovely views, but there are. And he has a lovely vista and a lovely view out of his window. And his idea of praying to the Lord was not just praying to him, but was conversating about his day to come. He had employees to look after. He had people that he had to find work for, and he was concerned about that. And then he'd be concerned about the ecclesia and the things that he was doing at the ecclesia as well. And he said he found it was more like a conversation with God, almost getting it off his mind and able to talk. Do we do that, brothers and sisters? Do we perhaps follow the format that's here that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to say, right, okay, let's pray to the Lord first. Let's hallow his name. Let's literally praise the Lord. Or are we too busy going through life too fast to be able to do those things? If we are going to be a watch person, if we're going to watch and look for the Lord, How are you equipped? How are you going to know if you don't look? How are you going to know if you're not awake? How are you going to know if you're not putting your head above the parapet? If you think about the idea of a fortress and you think the idea of someone standing on that column and waiting and looking, they have to keep their eyes continually focused. They have to keep their eyes continuously on where the enemy might come from. That's the idea of watching. That's the idea of looking and watching and consistently doing so. It is Luke who will tell us through the Lord Jesus Christ exactly that. Come if you would to Luke chapter 21. We're close to that point where the Lord will depart. We're close to that point, aren't we, where the plot will happen. And Jesus knew that the time was short. He knew that the time of his departure was very soon. He'd been talking to his disciples about the trees and talking about fig tree previously. He'd been talking about the idea of the coming of the Son of Man. He talked about that in verse 25 and talked about how he will come in power and glory and how he will come to this earth. But he then says to them in verse 34, says this: "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the desires of drunkenness and cares of this life." I'm reading from the ESV if you're wondering. "And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all of these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." That's what we should be doing, brothers. That's how strong it is. Not getting worried about whether we've got the right amount of money, not worrying about whether our cupboards are full, not worrying about whether life is doing, whether our jobs are right, whether whatever the situation is, and if you're lucky to be retired, whether I've got enough money in my pot to be retired and to carry on. Not about all those things, not about the trivial things which we have to concern ourselves. Yes, we do have to do daily things, and even like the children of Israel who were in the wilderness, yes, they had to get up, and yes, they had to go and get that manna every day so that they were fed. Yes, we know that has to happen. But look at your own day. Look at your own time. How much is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? And how much is focused on watching for him? Because he's going to come. It's no good sitting there on watching the telly and thinking, "Oh, look at that, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Isn't that lovely?" I've got a sneaky feeling, brothers and sisters, if that's the case, you've missed it. And how awful would that be? I don't know. That's true. Don't know at all. But can you imagine it, brethren? Just there you are watching it on the news, breaking news. Some chap has come to the Mount of Olives. Certain things have happened. And you're reading this and you're thinking, "Hang on. Isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, have I missed him? How have I missed him? Why have I missed him?" Brethren, sisters, as we watch, as we look, as we put ourselves in that situation, he wants us to constantly, if it's possible, to be standing and looking. And every day he was teaching in the temple, we're told, verse 37. But at night he went out and lodged on the mountain called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. And they were listening and they were constantly trying to listen to what he had to say. And that's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. Do you do the readings? Do you find yourself reading those readings? Do you find yourself opening the Word of God every single day? Do you find yourself making sure that you are taking that Word in? Because it needs to be fresh. It needs to be fresh in our minds. It needs to be fresh in our heads. We need to make sure that we are constantly, constantly doing what we should do. We need to be looking. The day is fast spent, brothers and sisters. If the Lord isn't coming in the very near future, let's be surprised. I can't think of more things that can go wrong. What else can go wrong, brothers and sisters? How bad can it get before the Lord will turn up and be here? In Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul tells them that he will come as a thief in the night. He will come unaware. The world will think they've got it all sorted. The world will think they've got everything balanced out. The world will think they've got all their treaties and all the things that they do all in place and everything will be wonderful and hunky-dory. And then Jesus will suddenly turn up. And we need to be ready, brothers and sisters. We need to be prepped and making sure that we're doing it. Make sure that we're working. Make sure that we're trying our best to preach and to teach and to show those around us the gospel and the things that are coming upon this earth, because that's what we should be doing, isn't it? Having the courage to teach and to preach those. It's the parable of the sower, isn't it? It's the idea of the parable of the sower, isn't it? It's, of course, to literally go out there and do, and to literally go out there and work. And if you know that the Lord's coming, if you have that in your heart, if you absolutely believe that, as I'm sure you do, then you are not going to help yourself but tell people about it, are you? Make sure that you use that opportunity to go and to teach and to preach and to make sure that you are looking and watching and waiting. So where are you looking? Are you looking through the Word of God? Are you making sure that you're checking through there? Are you making sure that you've got everything right? Are you wearing the true armour of faith, as says the apostle to those in Ephesus? He told them, didn't he, in the back end of chapter 6 there. Put on the armour of God. Make sure that you've got all the things. Make sure you've got all the equipment. I remember years ago, much younger brother, and perhaps not as experienced as I am now. Who knows if I'm experienced now. But, you know, at the time, certainly not equipped. I was stopped in a town centre by evangelists who were actually talking and preaching and doing their bit to spread the word of God. And they asked me a question I couldn't answer. And I felt so ashamed that I wasn't equipped to answer that question. I know what the answer is now, should they come and ask me this time. But that's through experience and through whatever I've tried to make sure. Making sure that we're ready. Making sure that we are prepared. Making sure that we are making our lives right. Making sure that we are steady. And making sure that we're ready to go at any point. Is yours and mine job. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the faith. It doesn't matter how short or how long we've been here. We need to be as ready as we were when you were baptized. Can you remember that time? Can you put your mind back to what you were thinking? Can you put your mind back to what you were going to go and do? I was going to convert the world. That was my thing. I really was. I was so enthusiastic. I was a bit young. I was very naive. I was only 15 when I got baptized, and perhaps far too young, but there I was, and I was going to convert the world. And anybody that came across me when I started work, I was so enthusiastic and so up for doing things and making sure I did it. And sometimes I wonder where that person has gone. I wonder where that person is inside me, who's not forever teaching and preaching and showing those around us what we are all about. We need to try our best, brothers and sisters, to be prepared in our minds and our hearts. And we need to try our best to, if we possibly can, make sure that when we pray, when we're looking and when we're asking for help, and when we seek as the Lord has asked us to do through Luke, that we have the right things we're seeking for. In the Psalms, Psalm 5, if you want to look at this, it's quite interesting. Give your ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. Is that how you pray? Is that how earnest you pray for things in your life and for the kingdom to come? O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I proceed to prepare a sacrifice for you to watch. And he's talking about the idea of praying in the morning, prepping the life, making sure it's all right. Making sure our mindset is correct. Prayerfulness is part of our watching, isn't it, Ben? So prayerfulness is making sure that we are always, always praying to the Lord. Always making sure he's with us. I can't say I've ever been put in a very, very difficult situation, but I must confess, if, say, at school and in a situation where we've got a bunch of yobbos on the field and they won't go home, and I've got to go and approach them, I must confess, rightly or wrongly, I give a little prayer that I'll be safe and then I'm not put into a situation that will be difficult. Are we able to do that, brothers and sisters? Are we able to think about that in the moment and in the time? Are we able to put ourselves to make sure that that's our constant thing? The Lord Jesus Christ taught us this, didn't he, when he was tempted. He didn't go, I know it's somewhere in Deuteronomy, but I'm not sure. He knew, didn't he, brothers and sisters, that when he was tempted, he was able to regale straight back, man doesn't live by bread alone. He didn't have to hesitate that. He knew it. It behoves us, brothers and sisters, to be of the same mindset, doesn't it? And so we need to make sure that we have the faithfulness, that we have the ability to make sure that we constantly watch. You remember the disciples in that garden? In Gethsemane? Jesus was just a few yards away. He asked them to watch and to wait. He was going through absolute agony, brothers and sisters. He knew in the next couple of hours he will be hanging upon a cross. He will be dying for what looked like no reason at all, and certainly condemned of something he didn't even do. But he knew, unlike his disciples, that his death on that cross would enable them and us to have a chance of life everlasting. And he had the courage, brothers and sisters, prior to that, to set up this. Just a simple little thing. A simple bit of bread, a simple sip of wine, just to make you and I think again about our commitment to him, about our prayerfulness to our Father. And that's all he asks, isn't it, as we come to think about the emblems now, as we come to partake of them. Whatever we're doing in our life, whatever situation we're in, wherever we are, whether we're watchful or not, or whether we're perhaps not as perhaps the Christian we should be, and perhaps the person that's following the Lord Jesus Christ that we should be, and perhaps we've had a week that's been distraught and been sort of not quite as it should be, not perhaps being focused on the Lord. This is our time to focus and to remember that someone died for you and I. Someone put themselves in harm's way, as they say, so that you and I could have a chance of meeting our Lord when he comes. So the chance of being in that kingdom. So the chance of going and to see those patriarchs, perhaps to go and talk to them if we're lucky enough, and to do whatever we think the kingdom may well be and what it will be like. And he did that for us, brothers and sisters. He was prayerful. He was watchful. He was ready. There was a lovely dear sister, you know, that I may have told this before, that she used to lay up at night her clothes. Not for the morning. Not so she was coordinated and was wearing the right colours and all the rest of it. Nothing to do with that. She says, I went to bed to sleep. I wanted my clothes to be ready. If this was important, I don't know. So that when the Lord returned, she could get dressed and leave. It wasn't important that she wore the right clothes or that she had the clothes ready. What was important, brothers and sisters, was the mindset, wasn't it? Her mind was set that that night there was a chance that he would return, just like the thief in the night. But guess what? She would be ready, and she would be willing to follow him. So we need to be ready. We need to make sure that we can do that, if we possibly can, to be as ready as possible. It's tough, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's not easy. If you've been following this for a few years, you know yourself. You think, another year gone by, but I must keep going, But we were warned, James tells us, be patient therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for that precious time for the fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient, brothers and sisters. Let's establish our hearts, as James says, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Will you be ready? Will you be watchful? Will you be up for getting up if it's the middle of the night and ready? Will you be able to follow our Lord immediately? And that's what James is talking about, isn't it? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to think about. So as we partake of these emblems, we take them to ourselves and remember him who gave his life. Let's have the courage, as he had, to be prepared every single day, watching every single day, so that the Lord, when he comes, isn't a surprise to any of us.